One of the good things about summer ending for some parts of the country, fewer bugs. Except if you're in, say, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, now 27 other states, when fall means the return of the dreaded brown marmorated stink bug, a new Asian invader that's harmless except for the fact that it stinks and hangs around like a quiet cockroach and you can't get rid of it except maybe by vacuuming it. And then there's Arizona. Arizona has scorpions year-round. By the way, did you know they glow under ultraviolet light so you can check for them with a black light flashlight? Or that in 2008, 500,000 drivers had a car accident in England because they were distracted by a bug in the car. These are just a few of the tidbits in the new book, Wicked Bugs, The Louse That Conquered Napoleon's Army and Other Diabolical Insects. Author Amy Stewart joins us from KHSU in Arcata, California. Amy, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here.
Can we start with the stink bug? Because I know people in Pennsylvania who have this invasion. It's this, you know, brownish-gray, flat, disgusting, beetle-ish-looking thing. They are disgusting. And you describe how they once invaded a home in Lower Allen Township?
This one family whose story I tell is just a pretty typical example. They were finding them in their dishes and in the drawers where the silverware were. Mm. They were crawling up the Christmas tree and hanging out among the ornaments. Yeah. Like, this is not something you want to find in your Christmas tree on Christmas morning. And as you mentioned, you could vacuum them up, but that's when the stink gets released. So that's when they really smell terrible.
And there goes the vacuum. Well, it's a book about bugs. It's a book about how many there are. There's a lot of bugs.
Almost every living creature on the planet right now is a bug. In fact, there are 200 million of them for every one of us. So we are entirely outnumbered.
And they do things like, let's go through some of the stories. For instance, who knew that termites were partly responsible for the devastation after Katrina because they were eating away at a material in the levees?
Yeah, you know, this was actually one of the most astonishing stories I came across. So I went to New Orleans and I talked to an entomologist there who studies termites, and he raised the alarm bells about this years before Katrina happened. What he and his colleagues had found is that the seams of the flood walls are made from sugarcane waste, which turns out to be like candy for termites. So these termites have been eating away at the seams of those flood walls for years. And when Katrina hit, it definitely contributed to the breach of the flood walls. And the worst part about this story, really, is that nothing has been done about it. The Corps of Engineers has been pretty unwilling to listen to what the entomologists have to say about the need to eradicate the termites from the flood walls.
Tick off some other things that bugs do that literally undermine us.
I'm interested in the destructive pests, of course. You know, you think about, for instance, the phylloxera that wiped out the French wine industry in the late 1800s. So many of the things that a little bug can do really do change history. I mean, you look at Napoleon, for instance. His troops went marching into Russia, and with the idea that he was going to conquer Russia, probably go after Britain next, and maybe come after us after that, really take over the world. And it was actually body lice that contributed in large part to Napoleon's defeat in Russia. The troops had no way of bathing or changing clothes. Body lice turn out to transmit a lot of terrible diseases, and the troops got really, really sick from an almost invisible little insect.
What is it about bugs that is such an ew factor?
I would actually say that it's ignorance. I think that when we see a little creature crawling across the countertop, we don't know if it could hurt us or not. We don't know how aggressive it is. And so we're just automatically terrified. And even though I'm really writing about the dark side of bugs, I actually think we need to be a little bit more accurate and educated about our phobias. The fact is that the vast majority of any kind of bug, any sort of insect, any sort of spider on the planet today does mostly good, could not hurt us if we wanted to. And, you know, it really took some effort for me to round up 100 or so to include in this book that I thought we actually should be genuinely terrified of these.
With that in mind, isn't there a story of someone who tried to kill her husband several times over, including with a bug?
Yes, there is. I kept hearing about tarantula pie. This phrase kept popping up in my research. I'm like, I have to know what tarantula pie is. It took me a long time to find the story, but I finally did. And this actually happened in Southern California in 1977. A woman decided to murder her husband. She turned out to be the most inept murderess in history. One of the many things she did that failed was that she extracted the venom sac from a tarantula and hid it in a pie. And he ate every part of it except for the part where the venom sac was. So he even survived that.
Well, but others, I mean, it's on a serious note, someone committed suicide by Black Widow Spider.
Well, there was an attempted suicide by Black Widow Spider. A man left a suicide note behind, and a box was found under his bed that was labeled that it contained a Black Widow Spider that was guaranteed to deliver instantaneous and, you know, a fatal bite. And it turned out that he probably took an overdose of pills. But what that very sensational story in the media did is it led us to have this wildly inflated fear of Black Widow spiders. In fact, they almost never kill anyone. It's very hard to find a confirmed case of death by Black Widow bite. It can be painful. You're not going to enjoy it. But they don't want to bite us. They want to leave us alone. And our fears of them are really pretty irrational and pretty over the top.
Well, another bug you say gets a bad rap, the bed bug. Even though you start your chapter on the bed bug talking about a man who went to a doctor with terrible fatigue, you know, nobody could figure out what it was. He kept needing transfusions. And it turned out he was being eaten by bed bugs. That sounds kind of serious.
He was. He was a very ill, mentally ill, and a nearly homeless man living in some kind of assisted housing. And it turned out that he just did not have the mental capacity to realize that he was living in an apartment that was infested with bed bugs. Mm. So it is possible for a bad enough infestation to actually start to cause people to lose significant amounts of blood. But here's my thing about bed bugs. They don't cause any disease that we know of. People might have a little bit of an allergic reaction to the bite, but when you compare a bite from a bed bug with, say, a deer tick, which transmits Lyme disease and a number of other terrible diseases, or a mosquito, which is responsible for the vast majority of deaths from insect bites around the world, I would take a bed bug any day. I honestly don't understand why they're in the newspaper every day and mosquitoes and deer tick are not.
Well, Amy Stewart, again, they make their way into your book, Wicked Bugs. What's the one thing you would just leave us with about common bugs, flies, fleas, the things that we've encountered all summer?
You know, something like fleas or flies, we have to learn to live with. The fact is that we are ourselves an ecosystem. Like it or not, there are actually billions of living creatures living in us and on us. Most of them we can't see. A few of them, like a flea, are large enough to see. But we need to respect their power. But that doesn't mean we always have to run screaming out of the room.
And by the way, we understand there's some good news on the scorpion front. I mentioned scorpions.
Yes, there's actually a new antivenin for scorpion bites, which is going to come as a huge relief to people living in Arizona and the southwestern part of the United States. Before now, there's been no treatment at all. And especially when a small child gets bitten, the pain can be really unbearable and it can be very dangerous. Their little bodies can't process the venom as well as an adult could.
Is this the new antivenin Anascorp?
That's right.
Yep. You write about how this was in clinical trials at the Phoenix Children's Hospital, but now it's been given the green light.
Exactly.
And 8,000 people are stung every year in Arizona, we understand.
Well, you know, they get into houses. You really have to learn to look inside your shoes before you put your shoes on. It's just easy to accidentally run across them is the problem.
Yeah, literally. Amy Stewart. Again, the book is Wicked Bugs, The Louse, The Contra, Napoleon's Army, and Other Diabolical Insects. Thanks so much.
Thank you.